The Fan on Demand.
It's 11 o'clock, the Jeff Blair Show. It's George Russick. I'm Jeff Sambit, Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Blair's got Baseball Central in an hour. Kevin Barker with him, of course. You can watch it on Sportsnet as well. So the breaking news that we've heard within the past hour or so, Tim Leiwicki to continue as CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment until June 30th, 2015, or until a successor is appointed. Well, we heard that report. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet had that a couple of days ago, and Elliot joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A pat on the back, young man, Elliot. You're going to develop into a fine hockey reporter one day.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. I don't really know if I want to celebrate or anything like that. It almost is like ghoulish to celebrate somebody leaving a job. I'm just glad that it's over and that nobody has this hanging over them anymore. If I put it that way.
Yeah. But Ellie, just from a reporter's standpoint, a lot of people saying, oh no, he's denied it, that this story isn't true. How do you react to the guy who actually broke the story and clearly knew the truth all along?
Well, you understand that it has to happen. The thing is, the one thing I'd like everybody to know is I've dealt with Tim Leiwicki a lot over the last couple of years, or year, 16 months or whatever, and every time he's dealt with me, everything he's told me has turned out to be true. So when I think you doubt yourself a little bit, you know, you always believe in your sources and your reporting, or else you don't go with it. I mean, your credibility is all you have in this business. But when he came out and denied it, yeah, I think you doubt yourself for a little bit. But, I always believed it would end up this way, that this was going to be the situation. I think, obviously, I left myself out there to dry a little bit when I used the phrase soon, because there's a lot of, what soon really is. And to be perfectly honest, June 30th, 2015 really doesn't qualify as soon. But, I always believed it was going to turn out to be correct. It was just a matter of, how long was it going to take?
So in dealing with Tim Leiwicki or speaking with him and getting to know him and seeing the work that he's done with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment and Toronto Maple Leafs, Raptors, and TFC, there's a lot of fans out there right now that are saying, well, is this ultimately going to be a good thing or a bad thing for the team that I love? What do you think?
Well, the one thing that's really amazed me over the last couple of days is I think you look at the reaction from the different fans. Like the hockey fans, I think, are a little bit unsure of his legacy. The whole thing about determining his legacy to me, guys, is really silly, because we're not going to know his legacy probably for another few years. How will the Brendan Shanahan era go? Until we know the answer to that, we can't determine it. But the basketball fans obviously like what happened last year, and the Toronto FC fans love the guy. That's one thing I really learned, because I don't follow Toronto FC a lot, but in my timeline and reading about it the past couple of days, if there was one group of fans that was saying, I hope you're totally wrong on this, it's the Toronto FC fans. They love him. They love what he's done with the team. They love the fact that they feel that he really cares about the team a lot. I think that those are the people who are most affected and most disappointed. But I don't think, all the jokes aside about mission accomplished and things like that, the true legacy of Leiwicki will not be determined for a while. To me, the biggest question right now is, how did all of this go down? Is this something he wanted? Is this something he didn't want? I think there's no question in my mind, based on what he said the last couple of days, that he wanted one more year. I don't know if he wanted it to be potentially shorter than a year.
Ellie, with the hiring of Brendan Shanahan, do you think he had any inkling that this was going to happen with Tim Leiwicki? And how important was the relationship between him and Leiwicki to actually take this job with the Leafs?
Well, Leiwicki, played a big role in convincing him to take it. There's no question about that. I think, judging from what we've seen over the last 24 hours or 48 hours, I think you've got to believe that you know, Shanahan wanted a year with him, or believed there was going to be a year with him. I think the one thing we all understood, and I'm sure Shanahan understood this too, is that we all knew that Tim Leiweke in Toronto was not a long-term thing. That it was, and I've said this plenty of times, it was another chapter in the book, not the epilogue in the book, and that he wasn't going to be here for a long time. So I think Shanahan knew coming in that he would probably get a year with Leiweke, and that was probably it.
Do you think that at the time of the hiring, MLSE looked at it as a short-term thing, kind of right the ship and then take over after that without Tim?
Well, I think so. I think that's probably it. I think if there was one thing that upset maybe the people at MLSE, the ownership, is that they didn't like the fact that there were constant rumors that he was going here, he was going there. Like, there have been a lot. Like, I saw John Shannon today talked about on Twitter about how he was hearing MSG or NBC Comcast, and Bob McCowan's been reporting a lot about the potential of the Clippers. One executive told me yesterday when I was talking to him about this story that he said to me if he was an owner of a team, and this is a guy who doesn't work in Toronto, that it would bother him if he heard that many rumors about the guy who was at the top of the organization. Tim Leiweke made a lot. Like, when he came here, he said he asked for power and he got it and he used it. And I think there's a lot of dynamics with him in the board that were, you know, because of the hockey rights, because guys at that position are used to having control. Leiweke had control and he wielded it. And I think when you do that and you make difficult decisions, you're going to make enemies. And I think that's why, you know, even though like the story came out 2 days ago, there have been a lot of reporters speculating about this for a long time. And I think it was just a matter before it was going to happen.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman here on the Jeff Blair Show. Elliot, you talk about the board and the quote-unquote unholy alliance between Rogers and Bell. Is that relationship maybe a little more difficult than what we even think it potentially could be?
I think it's difficult. I mean, obviously, you know, somehow it got done last night with this decision to announce today that Leiweke was June 30th or sooner. At the end of the day, those two companies, they want to beat each other. They unite for certain things, like buying this team and maybe lobbying the government. But at the end of the day, they're cutthroat competitors. And when you have what we had with the hockey rights and Rogers winning over Bell in a brutal battle, I mean, it's going to leave hard feelings. And I think it's not easy. And I think navigating that is going to be a challenge. It was a challenge for Leiweke, and it's going to be a challenge for the next person, whoever he or she may be.
We're speculating as to why Tim Leiweke has made this decision. Talk about the prospects that are outside the organization, outside of Toronto, that perhaps he's looking at. You know, and some have said that, you know, maybe his family just doesn't want to live here, and that's fine. Maybe they just want to be home, and I could see that. You know, if I had to leave the city and go somewhere else, I don't know if I'd like it. I'd want to be back here in Toronto. Do you know if there's any one more reason than any other as to why he's decided to do this?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether, you know, what he says, if it's his decision or he felt he was pressured into it. I mean, like, even though the announcement's been made, I mean, the question has to be asked, is it his decision or is it the board's decision? And so I'd be curious to hear his answer to that. That's number one. But like I said, Jeff, I think it was always a situation where this was not going to be a long-term stop for him. And, you know, two hours, that would really be short. I think, you know, it's been reported, and he's denied it. He denied it to Michael Grange the other day. But it's been reported that, he has a two-year non-compete in the United States, which would go to March of next year. And, he says that's not true. But whatever the case is, you know, I think if it was pretty clear from his statements the other day that this coming NHL/NBA season was going to be the last season, and then it was time, whether it was to go back closer to home, whether it was to do something else, he was not going to be here long term. So I think in the last little while, it became a matter of when, not if.
Elliot, that's very interesting, the first point you made to me, that if he was getting forced out, I think as a whole, and as you mentioned at the top of the interview, that Toronto FC fans love the guy. The Raptors are thrilled that he came here and brought Masai Ujiri, and obviously the jury's still out on what Brendan Shanahan can do with this Maple Leafs team. But if I'm a fan of one of those three teams or all of them, should I be angry at the upper board if they wanted to kick this guy out just because of maybe a power struggle?
Well, I think if you're an FC fan, and this is the number one I think I've actually seen from the Toronto FC fans, is that they want to know. I think they're probably the most worried ones right now, because they want to know, okay, what does this mean for our team? Like, I think, like, if you're a Raptor fan, like, Ujiri has cachet right now, right?
Right.
Like, after the year he had last year, you're looking at him and you're saying, okay, we believe in what this guy is doing. I think if you're FC, you look at it and you say, boy, Lywicki was the really driving force, and you're hoping the next guy cares as much about FC as this guy did and has the money and is willing to spend it the way this guy did. You know, I think Leaf fans, I think they look at it like it all depends on if you believe in the moves that are making this, that being made this summer. If you don't agree with the removals of Poulin and Loisel and the changes on the coaching staff or the hiring of the analytics, if you don't agree with all that, you're going to say, good, this guy's gone. But if you do agree with that and feel the change of direction is what the organization needed, then you're going to support. Then you're going to say, well, this is too bad. Let's see what the next person does. I don't know. I think it's, like I said, I think the guy's legacy, it's way too early to determine that. And it's all going to, and I think it's going to come down to, hey, Brendan Shanahan clearly has a plan. As long as he's allowed to do the plan, and I think in recent years the board has been much better at stepping back and let guys do what they want to do, then I think everything's going to be okay.
Elliot, you mentioned legacy, and everything's great with the Raptors and Toronto FC, you mentioned, but will his legacy, now be it a short period of time here, will we just be judged on what he did with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No, I think that Shanahan will have a lot to say about how his legacy is. Is Shanahan successful? People are going to remember that Lywicki was the guy that brought him in. Like, I think it's silly in a lot of ways to say a guy's legacy is determined on the day they leave. That's not true. Like, you know, Toronto's looking for the NBA All-Star Game. They're getting a new practice facility. They're looking for the NHL All-Star Game. Like, there's a lot of things that they are working on to try and get done. Like, if all of this stuff happens, it's part of his legacy. And clearly they wanted to make changes, and he did that. He wielded his power as he said he would. I think it's almost silly to say a legacy is this. I think we won't really know his legacy until for a couple of years at least.
Well, you talk about the initiatives and the dreams that Lywicki has, or that MLSE has, and which one is it? Do you believe that Lywicki was brought in to carry out plans that MLSE had, or Lywicki was the visionary and implemented these visions for MLSE, and it's now up to MLSE to carry it through after Tim Lywicki?
I think a lot of these things were his idea.
Oh, wow.
I do. Yeah. Like, I do. I really do. I think, like, people who know him and my dealings with him is he's a confident person. He believes in himself. He believes in his ideas. I don't think you get to where he's been in business without having that belief in yourself. And I think that a lot of these decisions were his. And did he... You know, when he did the first interview with us on hockey night when he got hired, you know, I asked him, who has the final say? And he said, it was me. And I think that's true. I think he did have the final say in a lot of ways. And I think at times it rankled the people on the board because they're used to having final say on things. Like like I said earlier, he's a bulldozer. He decides what he wants to do, and he's gonna do it, whether you like it or not.
Elliot, I know it's way too early now to talk about a successor, but Jeff and I were just pie in the sky earlier, and is it too much of a coincidence, or is merely a coincidence?
You're going to say Mark Cohan, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, and a lot of people on Twitter have been as well.
You know, it's funny, like, I did get a lot of, that was, like, this morning text messages, people were asking that same question. I mean, one of the questions I think is going to get asked is it important that MLSE has a Canadian there? So I wonder if that's going to be an issue. Like, I wonder if Tom and Selmy possibly could be in play again here. I think Cohan, like, from a purely logical point of view, without doing any research on it, Cohan's name makes a lot of sense. But if you're asking me if I know, I've heard that he's in it or he's a slam dunk, I haven't. I haven't really done the research on it yet.
Well, and Selmy, it's interesting you bring him up. But I thought he had numerous opportunities to turn around the Toronto FC, and that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can weigh his candidacy all you want. I'm just saying that that was one of the names. Like, when we were throwing around names this morning, that's one of the names that came up.
I see.
But, Elliot, you talked about maybe the power struggle between Leiweke and the board. I don't want to say that they want to bring in a yes man, but a guy maybe not as strong as influence or ego of a guy like Leiweke. Would that be more of a logical candidate?
Yeah, maybe, but I think that it's hard to do that job. Like, yeah. I think it's hard to do that job without having control. Like to me, what I would really do, the way I think it should work, and this is just my own personal opinion, is that, like, you know, Richard Petty at the beginning, like, he made mistakes and he's admitted them. But I thought by the end, Petty had a really good handle on it. He really figured it out. He hired Burke, he hired Colangelo, and he let those guys do their job. He did all the business stuff, but there's no question that Colangelo was the czar of the basketball side and the czar of the hockey side was Burke. And I think that's the way it has to be. You know, I think you need, like, a business person at the top to handle all the other stuff, and you need to say to the hockey guys and the basketball guys, here's your budget, do it. And I think that under Petty, it really got to that way. And I think Leiweke, you know, I think in a lot of ways he did that. I think that one of the things that they're really going to have to battle is who the next person to come in is managing up. Because the board is the way it is, with a fraction there between two companies, that's the thing that you really have to deal with.
Sportsnet hockey insider Elliot Friedman. Elliot, thanks for this. Appreciate it as always, and appreciate your efforts throughout the week on this story.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Tim Leiweke to continue as CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment until June 30th, 2015, or until a successor is appointed. Toronto Maple Leaf fans, Raptor fans, TFC fans. How's that grab you? 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590 or *590. Is this a good or a bad thing for MLSE, for the teams that we had mentioned? The Leafs, the Raptors, the FC, heck, the Marlies as well. What do you think?
And Elliot brought up a great point about Toronto FC, and we know that all this talk that they spent all this money on Defoe and Bradley and Gilberto and Cesar, bringing all these guys into the fold, and that Toronto FC won't make you a lot of money. But Tim Leiweke, it was one of his goals to make Toronto FC relevant right away and get this team competitive, get this team into the playoffs, because the fans of the city deserve that. So what does that now mean for the future of Toronto FC? Are we going to see them making these splashes in the future? I'm not so sure. So out of all the teams that under the umbrella MLSE, if I'm a TFC fan, I'm probably not thrilled with this news, because we saw the pedigree that Leiweke was bringing in. Obviously, his relationship with the LA Galaxy and what he did for that franchise, ultimately winning an MLS Cup championship. So to me, if I'm a Toronto FC fan, I'm a little nervous. If I'm a Raptor fan, I'm not liking the fact that he's leaving. You brought in Masai Ujiri. You finally have the Raptors heading in the right direction. And obviously the Maple Leafs and all this, I don't think it really affects you that much if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Well, with the Leafs and the Raptors, Leiweke brought in people that can run those teams. And with Shanahan there, with Masai, and as Elliot says, it does remain to be seen how things are going to play out with those hires.
Right, but when Shanahan came in, still a lot of eyebrows were raised, bringing in a guy with no experience to run a hockey team.
Yeah,
so obviously
so
the jury is still out on the Maple Leafs. So
yeah,
if I'm a Maple Leaf fan, I'm like, I think I'm a little indifferent with Tim Leiweke leaving, although you like some of the things he was done. We talked about the honorary bench that they're going to have outside of the Air Canada
Legends
Center.
Row. Yeah.
Legends Row. That Tim Leiweke has a hand in that to show and preserve the the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But if you're a Raptors fan, I think you're not happy right now. This guy brought you Masai Ujiri, who has this Raptors team, you hope, in the right direction to be relevant in the NBA. Not only that, he brought in Drake as well to poach some of these free agents eventually to come to the Raptors to be a relevant team. If I'm an FC fan and if I'm a Raptors fan, I'm not too happy hearing this news this morning.
I'm not happy about it at all. I liked Tim Leiwicki's confidence, and I think it was welcome in this city, and notably, of course, with the company he worked for. 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-0590, or *590. What do you think about Leiwicki deciding that he's done? And it's something that we had been talking about, of course, thanks to Elliot Friedman, all week long, and now we see it actually come to fruition. Max in Scarborough joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Max, what do you think?
Well, this is pretty sad, Jeff. I mean, this is a man that was going to be the man that's going to be the face of MLSC, which to many of us fans, like, after years of losing, I mean, this is a guy that's going to, you know, turn things around for all the three successful teams. And now he's leaving, and it's like this is like back to square one all over again. I mean, we want somebody who really believes that any of these franchises deserves to have winning success. And over those last couple of years, I mean, the Leafs and the Raptors and the FC, you know, they haven't done much winning in those years. And he was a guy that was finally going to turn things around. And he's been with them for only 16 months, and all of a sudden he's leaving. I mean, this is going to be like another setback all over again. Like, we just want someone who really believes of a franchise that's willing to succeed.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Max. I don't think you can say that, though. We don't know the factors exactly why he's leaving. It could be just family reasons.
Yeah,
and he's choosing his family over his job, and you have to respect a man to make that decision. So we just can't say he's just bailing on the big three franchises when, Jeff, he has had an impact on all of those franchises, especially the Raptors and Toronto FC.
And he has, and Elliot talked about it as well, that perhaps MLSE, upon hiring him with the two-year no-compete clause in the U.S., that they felt that this was going to be a short-term thing. And who knows? Maybe they thought, all right, well, this might be a short-term thing, but Leiwicki might like it here, might see that he's grown something, right, and then decide, yeah, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to be here for a while, longer than the suspected 2 years. So maybe it was known going in. And I'll tell you, what a compliment it would be to Tim Leiwicki if they knew that when they brought him in, and hired him anyway and gave him that much power.
But didn't we get that sense when he was brought in the first place that he was here for a good time, not a long time? We all got that sense, though, didn't we?
I was a little less on that than everybody else, so clearly I was wrong on that back at that time. I wasn't sure that he was a rental, that he was just stopping by. I wasn't 100% sold on that. I was looking more at the possibility of, yeah, well, maybe he wants to see this through. And it was more so because what he wants to do really is a long-term thing. There isn't a quick fix here. As quickly as he turned around or helped to turn around the Toronto FC, at least in terms of star power, they're not a joke anymore, which is great because we got used to that. But seeing that and seeing some long-term goals as well in trying to get, you know, all-star games for the NBA in 2016 and in 2018 with the National Hockey League and looking at the Leafs' 100th anniversary, the construction of BMO Field or the, you know, development of BMO Field.
Right.
These looked like long-term things that I didn't think he'd be coming in for 2 years. I thought he'd be coming in if it was going to be a short time. Maybe a short time would have been 5 or 6 years.
I've had this thought.
Uh-oh.
Does this affect, and hear me out, the Toronto Argonauts in any way? Because we saw that deal with the Argos fall through. Apparently it was dead between MLSE and the Argos. If a new CEO comes in, could that be explored again, that the Argos get purchased by MLSE?
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. Could this mean something new for the Toronto Argonauts and maybe something aligned with BMO Field for eventually them to move in? Because right now, things don't look good for the Toronto Argonauts, and maybe somehow, some way, this is tied to them down the road.
Yeah, maybe.
Just maybe, spitballing.
Maybe as part of the, and it's not damage, but collateral damage afterwards. I guess a domino
because
effect.
We heard
again,
that,
if we use that term.
We heard that the deal was dead to buy the Toronto Argonauts to MLSC. So maybe this.
Depending on who you heard it from.
Right.
Because if you heard anybody connected with the Argos, they would have said, oh, it's not dead. We're still talking.
But maybe this can get things going again, and eventually the Argos become under the the umbrella that is MLSC. Just throwing it out there.
Another domino.
What about Mark Cohan?
Another domino.
Buys the Argos?
What of,
fixes them?
What of the NFL in Toronto?
Right.
Might this have an implication one way or another in our hopes for an NFL team coming to Toronto?
Bon Jovi, the new CEO.
Oh, good God.
Of MLSC. And then he'll bring the NFL here. You're right. The NFL, what does that mean?
You did it.
What is that? What's that supposed
to
mean?
I'd rather you were the CEO than Bon Jovi.
You know, that's a backhanded compliment. And I commend you for that.
No.
That was a backhanded compliment.
No.
The Cadillac of compliments.
It
backhanded.
It was not a compliment at all.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
that,
Jeff.
I'm putting you as the worst case scenario of having that job.
Thank you.
In comparison to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, remind me for you never to pack my parachute if we go skydiving, you son of a bitch.
Dave in Kitchener on Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Dave, how's the news of Lywicki eventually leaving grab you?
Well, mixed emotion. Like Elliot Friedman, I'm not much of a follower of Toronto FC, but I can see why those fans would be worried. He made large steps towards putting that team on the map. In terms of the Leafs and Raptors, I think those fans can rest easy. Franchises are in good hands with Shanahan and Ujiri. Excuse me. But one question I have for you guys is, obviously this news came out, probably Lywicki did not want it to happen now. Does this, we don't know where he's going, what he's going to do. There's talk of the Clippers. Does this make him a lame duck?
Well, no, lame duck. It seems like he's controlling his own destiny. So I don't feel like,
no,
like he's a lame duck at all. I think he's going to help to groom the next person and bring the next person in and kind of bridge that gap. It seems like he was a gap filler to begin with. That's thrown out there.
And it's not like there's a major management decision on the horizon for any of the teams. Shanahan's in place. Bezpachenko's in place.
Mm-hmm.
Ujiri's in place. It's not like he's about to hire somebody to fill one of these roles.
I think
everyone's in place right now.
I think he's righted the ship with all the organizations in that, which is not to declare them successful. Don't get me wrong. There's still plenty of work to do. We want to see the Raptors build on the year that's been. We want to see if the Toronto FC can continue to do what they're doing right now. And the Toronto Maple Leafs still have a lot to prove. But there's someone at the top, as you mentioned those names. The ship is steered in a direction. Whether or not it's the right direction remains to be seen, but they're steered in directions. Now everybody has got people in place that are running the ship, so the person that's going to come in here is going to oversee them as opposed to try to, and who knows, maybe the person that comes in here goes, yeah, I don't want Shanahan here.
Right.
And maybe that's part of his job where he comes in where he says, all right, you want me to be the new CEO here? All right, well, Shanahan's got to go because that's not my guy. Here's the guy that I want to bring in, or the woman I want to bring in. Here's the person I want to bring in, and if I'm going to get that job, that's the first thing I'm going to do. That's my first order of business.
That's why I asked Elliot, because to me that's fascinating. If Brendan Shanahan knew that Tim Lywicki was leaving, you know, he takes the job even though he knew he was leaving, or he was under the impression that if he takes this job, Lywicki's his boss for the long term. That's what I would love to hear from Brendan Shanahan
that
himself.
That happened to me once.
If he knew, in fact, that, yes, I'm taking this job as a president of the Leafs, but you're leaving anyway, but thanks for giving me this opportunity. I'm going to try to do my best. Thanks for this. Or if he thought that Lywicki was going to be his boss long-term, that was maybe one of the major factors why he took this job in the first place. I would love to hear from Brendan
that
Shanahan.
That happened to me once. I was hired by a radio station, and I went to work there. I had a great relationship with the boss, and it wasn't like the boss did me a favor by hiring me. Like, he looked to fill a position. I interviewed. I got the job. I went there, and within 2 months, he said he was leaving. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's terrifying. You're like, well, now what? If this guy's leaving, what's going to happen with the next guy? Now, as it turns out, the next guy came in, and I liked him just as much as the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was that moment where I was like, oh, really?
Right.
What's happening? This guy brought me in, and I just got here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was so close that I was, like, still under probation. You know, that probationary period when you first get hired?
Yeah.
I think I was still under probation, so they could have just gotten rid of me and said, yeah, not working out. So I was really – if that's the case for Shanahan, I feel for him. I feel for anybody that would be in that position. Take more of your calls on the Jeff Blair Show. Tim Lywicki is eventually going to be out as CEO of MLSE, then a good thing or a bad thing for the company? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Raptors, the Toronto FC, the teams that you love? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. More of your phone calls. And Jesse Litch, formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays, is going to join us. He's got something to tell us. I'm Jeff Sambit with George Rusick, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
I think it's absolutely premature to make that kind of a judgment when we don't know all the details, and we don't, clearly, right now. But that's news. As we heard last hour, Tim Leiwicki to continue as CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment until June 30th, 2015, or until a successor is appointed. We'll see how it happens, and keep it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, for more details that will certainly unfold throughout the day. It's 11:46 on the Jeff Blair Show with George Rusick. I'm Jeff Sambit, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A good pal of ours reaching out, and we invite him onto the show now, and very happy to do so. Formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays, Jesse Litch joining us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Jesse, we ask you onto the show as a lot of fans here in Toronto, and certainly a couple of them here in studio speaking with you right now. And Jesse, we know you've beyond your Blue Jays career and trying to get back into baseball, you've certainly had a medical difficulty, and it's not for a lack of effort that you want to tell us something right now.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Basically, you guys have been loyal, and you guys stuck by me, and the fans everywhere is, you know, have always had interest in what's going on with me through this rehab process. So I figured I'd tell you guys first and just say that I'm, you know, officially going to retire today. You know, I've tried every spot that I could, and it hasn't really worked. So I'm going to try and pursue staying in the game somehow. And whether it be coaching, I mean, I'd like to coach, but you know, the playing career is over. So I'm hoping to keep my, baseball knowledge going and stay in the game for sure.
Jesse, how hard is it to eventually come to this decision? And when did you ultimately wake up one day and say, yeah, I just can't do this anymore?
It's probably the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's life, and you got to, you know, deal with what is thrown at you. And there's reasons for everything. And I think, you know, for me, it was kind of a thing that I had an idea was going to have to be done, but I just didn't know how soon it was going to be. And it was something that I've been contemplating for the last, you know, couple months. And it's definitely a hard thing to do, but it's time to move in a new direction.
Does it feel like relief to you?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, it's definitely somewhat of a relief just being, you know, getting it out there and saying it, and hopefully being able to stay in the game is definitely what I want to do. I've kind of kicked around a couple other things, and they weren't really something that I loved, and baseball is what I like to do. So it's definitely a hard thing to do, but it's a need to do thing.
Well, and last time we spoke, Jesse, you talked about throwing on September 1st and then coming to a decision on October 1st. Clearly you didn't want to wait till then.
It's hard to say. It's a process of, you know, my arm feeling I'm hurting every day. So it's a thing where, do I need to keep doing this, or do I need to get realization and realize that I need to move on and get something else going to, you know, start supporting my family again.
What's next? Do you have, I know there's several things that you would want to do, but, and you don't have to get into specifics unless you want to, but do you have some irons in the fire right now? Some things that excite you that at least you can converse about and talk over?
I want to use my knowledge that I've played, you know, I've done it for a long time, and help other people get through what I've gone through and get to the big leagues. And that's the ultimate goal of everybody. And for me to, you know, help anybody as a coach would be a great thing. I sat down last night and filled out envelopes for every single major league team, because I'm going to send a copy of my resume to every team. I don't know how to go about it other than that, but you know, it's something that I've put my mind towards, and I'm going at it 100%.
Jesse, I think there's a team, someone out there that's going to be very fortunate to be able to benefit from your experience and your knowledge, and just to have you around. You're going to be a benefit to someone, and I'm looking forward to seeing who that someone is going to be. You got a couple of fans here, and you got a lot of fans here in Toronto, and you have a career in Major League Baseball, and you have achieved so much that you should be very, very proud of. So I hope you don't think of this as a sad time, but as just looking forward to the next chapter in your life, because we know you're going to be just as successful there. Best of luck, Jesse Litch. Appreciate this, and thanks for reaching out, pal.
I appreciate you guys having me on there.
All right, thank you. And just joining us, Jesse Litch, formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays, telling us here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, that's it. He's hanging him up. He's no longer trying to continue his Major League Baseball career or his baseball career at that. So best of luck to Jesse Litch.
And he was talking about how his arm is constantly still sore now. And kudos to Jesse Litch, though, for trying to make it back, putting in the work to see if he can actually, you know, make it back to the big leagues. And ultimately, sometimes your body just says no after your mind and your heart still want to participate.
Certainly not for a lack of effort. So best of luck to Jesse Litch. Thanks for listening. And follow us on Twitter at RussickSN590, at JeffSambit590. Back tomorrow morning for another edition of the Jeff Blair Show at 9 a.m. Baseball Central with Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, next on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And a happy birthday to Wilt Chamberlain, who would have been 78.